Good morning and welcome to all of you. It's been good to be here. I really enjoyed the devotional this morning, and I thought it went really well with what we heard last Sunday. Brother Lonnie spoke to us about joy, and I guess I was thinking it must be something that we need, that God is allowing us to hear this. So maybe a challenge to me to find joy. This is the first time I've shared since we're back from Washington a couple weeks ago, and I just thought I would share a little bit. The one class that I took was on sermon preparation and delivery. I felt like I learned a lot. One thing that we talked about was that the message of the gospel is a simple message, and we should present it that way. In such a simple form, at least some of the time, so that even the 12-year-olds can understand, and even below. So I was impressed with that. So that's my desire, to be able to do that. Another thing that we did is the last day that we were there. Of course, we had some warning to prepare, but all of us that were in the class gave a 2-minute talk. And when we got done, our teacher, Stephen Gingrich, said, "I'm going to start something in the Anabaptist circles, something new. I'm going to start promoting 2-minute messages." Just don't get too excited. It's probably going to be more than that this morning. Thank you all for praying for the message. I know that a number of you have been praying, and I really appreciate that. I felt the Lord speaking. I will say it's been a bit of a struggle preparing for this message. And so thank you for praying. Thank you, visitors, for being here as well. Welcome you all to feel at home here. Like to just maybe share a bit of the burden of the message this morning. This message was prepared largely with our youth in mind, but it's not only for our youth. It's for all of us, and I know there's a number of youth that are missing this morning, but I'm glad for all of you that are here. Excuse me. I know how hard it is to be a young person, and we hear voices from many different directions, and we're trying to figure out what is truth. I know what it's like to be there. And so I'm burdened for you all this morning. I want this message to be a message of hope, a message of joy, a message of direction, how to find truth. I was listening to the Bible school program out in Washington on Friday evening, and Jeremy Bodder made a statement there. He gave the in the intermission there, he spoke there. And one statement that he made, and I felt like it really maybe summarized the burden of the message. He said, as a challenge to parents and church leaders, when churches fight, young people die. That should be sobering to us. You know, there is conflict at times in churches, many times, too much, I would dare to say, that there's conflict in churches, and the ones that suffer are the young people, the youth. Youth, right along with that, I want to say, it doesn't have to be that way. You have a choice. You have a choice. And if your heart is after truth, you can find truth. You will be able to find truth. And I recognize this morning that some of you are struggling to find truth this morning. And so that's the burden of the message. The goal of the message is to not talk about division and conflict. The goal of the message is to take us back to the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our anchor of truth and hope. And so that's the goal this morning, that we could find joy in our relationship with God. And we can find joy and we can find hope there. So to begin with this morning, I'd like to start out with telling a story out of the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you this story just to give you a little bit of a picture of what I think we sometimes face, many times face. All of us face it. This is the story right after Solomon prayed his prayer and he asked God for wisdom. He said, God, I want wisdom. I want to know how to lead this people. I don't know how. And God granted him that request. And immediately following that, it seems like it's right after that, he was faced with this situation. It says these two women came to him. It says they were both harlots. Probably not upstanding citizens of the land. And they came to him and they told him this story. They said, both of us had a baby. And so, you know, it's very possible they were pregnant by prostitution. We don't know that. But they said, both of us had a baby. There's only two of us in the house. And so we know that, I mean, basically, I think what the reason they were saying that is that there was no way that anything else could happen. The one lady took her, both of them took their babies to bed with them, it sounds like. The one rolled over on her baby and suffocated it, and it died. And so she gets up, it says at midnight, through the night, while the other lady was sleeping, and she exchanges babies. She takes her dead baby and she puts it over here and takes the live baby and takes it to her bed. And so they bring this situation to Solomon. They were arguing about whose baby is the live baby. You know, it's a sad story, really, if you think about it. It's a very sad story. This mother, the mother of the living baby, knew it was her baby. And you know, the other one did too. I'm sure she did, because she was the one that exchanged it. But they brought this situation to Solomon. They were arguing back and forth. They said, the live baby is mine. And this lady said, the live baby is mine. And they were arguing in front of Solomon. And it says Solomon mused a bit. And he says, this lady says this lady says that. Bring me a sword. Just bring me a sword. Sword came and he said, just take that baby, cut it in half, and give half of it to this one, half of it to that one. And of course, we know what happened. The real mother said, absolutely, don't do that. Save the baby. Just give it to her. Just let him live. And that's how he found the real mother. And the other one said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. The other one said, keep it alive. Do we find ourselves in the place that Solomon found himself here I think we do. And I tell you what, I have wished for the wisdom of Solomon in figuring out which voice is the right voice to listen to. Have you ever felt that way? Which voice is the right voice? We hear opposing voices. I've titled the message this morning, Is Christ Divided? And we find that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And that's actually what brought me to this message earlier this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you can turn there if you want. I have 3 points. The message this morning. First one is opposing voices. Number 2 is Christ, the foundation of truth. Number 3 is why do I need church? We're going to look a bit at the conflict that Paul was addressing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here at the beginning. And then I'd like to look at where Paul took them. He took them back to Christ. So I'd like to just read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We'll stop there. So here we see the conflicting voices, the opposing voices. These people were choosing a leader. And they're saying, I'm following Paul. I'm following Apollos. Or I'm following Cephas, which was Peter. And this is causing conflict. Opposing voices. And you know, it was not absolutely not a peaceful way of doing church. In reality, these leaders were all working together to lead the church. And you know that, I think we all agree with that sounds a bit familiar in today's world, right? Sometimes we tend to follow men instead of Christ. You know, our tendency is, as humans, when we hear opposing voices, going into our first point here, opposing voices, our tendency is to try to figure out who is right. Who's right? In reality, I think we need to be looking at what is right. A lot of times, opposing voices have a measure of truth, but they also have a measure of error. And I know that's not, we can't say that straight across the board, probably. But oftentimes that's the way it is. And the reason is because we're human and we don't see the complete picture. And so I think that's the reason it's wise that we, when we're looking for truth, when we hear those opposing voices, that we look at what is right, not who is right. If we're hearing a voice or seeing a spirit that is complicated or confusing, it's probably not of God. If you remember what said earlier, the gospel message is a simple message. So if we're hearing a voice that sounds complicated or it's confusing us, it's probably not of God. We need a deeper basis for truth than other people's opinions. And again, I come back to the fact that the reason for that is because we are human. We're all human. We don't see the complete picture in and of ourselves. And so I would like, and that's the goal of the message here this morning, is that we go back to something that is more solid than the voices that we're hearing, the opposing voices. Our basis for truth must be founded on God and His Word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, which we'll be turning there in just a minute, I'd like to just real quickly look at verse 3. It says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What I'm seeing there is that when we join ourselves to one opinion or the other, one voice or the other, we take sides and we cause strife. That's not of God. We need to base our truth on the Word of God. And again, I ask the question, is Christ divided? I want you to think about that as we go through the message. Is Christ divided? I'd like to go to point number 2, Christ, the foundation of truth. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, I think it's so important, and James says here, if you lack wisdom, and by the way, how many of us think that we have wisdom? I believe that message is for every one of us. We do lack wisdom. All of us lack wisdom. Ask God. I believe if we are asking God, if we're looking to God for wisdom, sincerely, that God will give that to us. All right, now I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians 3 there, where we pulled that verse out of, and I'd like to... I'm sorry, we're going to be reading down further than that. I'd like to read verses 10 through 17. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I'll stop reading there. Excuse me. Again, Paul takes us back to the foundation of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is where we find truth, is in that foundation of Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the embodiment of truth. Excuse me. Another thing I want us to notice in that verse, Christ is singular. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'd like to turn over to John chapter 8. here again talking, Jesus is giving us direction on finding truth. John chapter 8. I'd like to just read a portion here and draw some thoughts out of that. John chapter 8, verse 31. And I think we'll read down through verse 47. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. And how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." There's a few things in here that I'd like to look at, and the one is that phrase there in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. How do we know that we are of God? I believe that it's important for us to know that we are of God and that we are hearing the truth. And I believe the way that we do that is it gives us some direction there in, let's see where that is. It's in verse 31. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth." And that's, to me, that's so important for us to know that we are of God, is if, and the way we can know is if we're obedient to the truth that has been revealed to us. You know, God doesn't give us, we're all on a journey. And I think God reveals truth as we go along. It's so important that we're obedient to the truth that God gives us when he gives it to us. We're obedient to his word. We're obedient. We do it. And as we do that, God will reveal more truth to us. I think it's important that we don't see sin just as the big sins out there. Murder, immorality, thievery, those type of things. I think sometimes we focus on those things too much, and we don't recognize the small sins. Are there big and small sins? I don't think so. But the small sins, like pride, envy, covetousness, those little things that creep up from the inside, I think it's very important that we recognize those things and take care of those things. And it's only then that I believe that God can reveal truth to us. John 15, verse 1, the first phrase in that chapter, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And it goes on in that chapter and it talks about abiding in that vine. He doesn't tell us that we're to bear fruit. Nowhere in that, he talks about bearing fruit in that chapter. But he doesn't tell us that we are to bear fruit. He says our responsibility is to abide in the true vine. And I think that's so important for us. Youth especially, take time to spend with God in prayer and reading the Word. It is so important. It's your lifeline. It's your lifeline to truth. It's your lifeline to life. It's your lifeline to joy. Excuse me. Beware of human reasoning. Human reasoning, I think, is so prevalent in our world today. We hear so much. We can reason things out to make the Word of God to what we want it to say. Beware of human reasoning. And there again, go back to the foundation of truth. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will always agree with truth and with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. It will all agree. 1 John 4, I'm not going to read there, but in 1 John 4 we see the phrase, try the spirits. I think it's so important that we do that today, and that could be a message in itself. Try the spirits. Three tests there that I think we can find, we see in that chapter. The spirit, every spirit, everything that we hear needs to be run by these tests. The Spirit of God within a person. Every spirit will lead us to Jesus, it will lead us to love, and it will lead us to truth. And if it doesn't, if the spirit that you're hearing, the message that you're hearing, doesn't lead to those three things, it's not of God. It will lead us to Jesus, it will lead us to love, and it will lead us to truth. Again, I ask the question, is Christ divided? Point number three, why do I need church? You may wonder, where did this point come from? I've seen many people get so tired of all the opposing voices, even if they're not involved, that they say, I'm done with church. Church isn't for me. If that's what's at church, I'm done. I'm out of here. Youth, I have a burden for you. All of you, I'm burdened. Because it's not the way it should be. Why is church important? First Timothy 3:15. I'd like to just read that verse. And I'm just picking this one out. I would like to read a little bit to get some context, but I'm not going to. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Interesting. The church assists us in finding truth. You know of ourselves, we're not balanced. We need the church to balance us out. We need the church. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. I'd like to just read that verse, and I like the ESV version. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. We have to plug into our church for this to work. The truth is that we can be very individualistic while attending our church. We need to open up to each other and allow others to speak into our lives. And you know, another response that we see at times is maybe not a complete leaving the church, but just distancing ourselves from the church. We just don't need to be very close to church. If that's a lot of opposing voices there. We don't need to be close to church. That's very detrimental to your personal life. Be involved. Open up to others. Open up to your church brothers and sisters. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, "I will build my church." And I think it's important that we recognize that it's not our church. It's Christ's church. It is Christ's church. We are all members of a church, but it's we are members of a body. But we have to remember that it's Christ's church. I'd like to just give a few practical pointers here. And this is not just for youth. I have several for each of you and some for both. And again, I'd just like to just reiterate just what I said. Recognize that it is Christ's church, not our church. And I believe that's for every one of us. We must recognize that it's Christ's church. Parents, I believe that we have a tremendous responsibility in developing an appreciation in our children for the church. Our attitudes, our speech about the church will come through to our children. It will. No matter how much you try to hide it, it will come through. And negative talking will turn our children away. The same is true on the opposite end. Positive speaking about the church will develop an appreciation for the church of Christ. Bitterness is a hindrance to church. It's a hindrance to truth. And that can be parents or children. We must maintain a soft, pliable heart. There must be forgiveness. There must be joy. There must be love. Find joy in your relationship with Christ. And that's for every one of us. And it's a challenge to me to find joy in our relationship with Christ. As we find joy in our relationship with Christ, you know, that joy overflows and it goes to our brothers and sisters. Find joy in reaching out. Find joy in ministering. Every one of us are called to be ministers. You know that? Even you 12-year-olds. We're all called to be ministers. When God calls us, when we're saved, God calls us to reach out beyond ourselves. Let's be of service in the church and beyond. Be involved, not just a bench warmer. Don't just show up every few weeks. Be involved. And surround yourself with solid people. People that are solid in their faith. Surround yourself with people that are mature Christians. And youth, I just challenge you, reach out beyond your own age group. Reach out to older ones. They have good advice. They're good for you. us older ones, parents, same is true for you all. Surround yourself with good people. When I say good people, I mean solid people that are mature in their Christian walk. They're walking with Christ. They're finding joy. They're at peace. Surround yourself with those people. You know, the church, I believe God calls us to submit ourselves to a church, to a local church. Submission to a body of believers is the outworking of our submission to Christ. Let's challenge us with that. Submission to a church is an outworking of our submission to Christ. And again, I ask the question, is Christ divided? And the answer, I believe, is obvious. No. Christ, His Word, and the Holy Spirit will give us one message. It will take us to truth. Christ is not divided. In closing, God's desire for us is to know His plan and not be disillusioned or deceived. In fact, He wants us to know His plan even more than what we do. God is concerned about you knowing truth, all of you. God is concerned that we know truth. He wants us to go the right direction. One verse yet in closing here. 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 14. Very familiar verse, but I think it's important. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If you're finding yourself in a confusing situation, I challenge you to go to Christ for truth. God is not the author of confusion. I have a song here I'd like to read. I've listened to this song a number of times this past week, and it's been good for me. Title of the song, Trust His Heart. And so, I guess especially to those of you that are possibly struggling, possibly trying to find your way in a confusing situation, I'd like for you to hear these words. All things work for our good. Though sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember, you're never alone. He sees the master plan and He holds our future in His hand. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. And then the chorus. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart. Let's kneel in prayer. Father God, thank You that You're the solid rock of truth. And thank You, Lord, that we can know truth. And Lord, the burden of our hearts this morning is that every one of us in this room and everyone listening could know truth and could follow truth and someday be in heaven with you. I pray that for everyone. Thank you for everyone that's here. I pray your blessing on them, especially those that are struggling. And Lord, I pray for those that couldn't be here as well. Would you bless them today in a special way? And I pray that you bless all our visitors as well. Thank you for bringing them here. And I pray that you would bless us as we go from here. May we trust your heart, O God. May we follow you closely. Thank you for grace and for all that you've done. I pray your blessing on us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.